right, everybody take your Bibles out and turn to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses of Scripture tonight. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "And I came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met with him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he had saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place and into the sea, and there was about 2,000, and were choked into the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage of Scripture, and once again we pray that you meet with us tonight. And dear Heavenly Father, my opinion doesn't matter at all, but dear Heavenly Father, what matters is the Word of God. And I pray that you use your Word as you see fit tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we desperately need to hear from you, and we desperately need to draw closer to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that once again you'd meet every need, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, Mark chapter 5 has been called the Bible home for the incurables. And basically this chapter describes cases that are absolutely, humanly speaking, incurable. And by the way, God specializes in the impossible, and praise God for that. And we have in this chapter a demonic man, a diseased woman, and a dead girl. And here's the thing is, without Jesus, the man would have been sent to a mental institution, the woman to be sent to a terminal care unit, and the little one to a cemetery. You know, the thing about it is this passage just goes to show what happens when Jesus passes by. You know, to the demonic to the demon possessed man, Jesus became the great psychiatrist. To the woman with disease, Jesus became the great physician. To the little girl, Jesus became the great pediatrician. You know, victory is the major theme that binds this chapter together. And by the way, with Christ, Christ is the victory. You know, we sing this song, "Faith is the victory." So, but here's the thing: is when it comes down to it, faith in Jesus Christ. And so, there can be victory over demons, disease, and death. But tonight, I want to focus on the victory of the maniac at Gadara, or from the guttermost to the uttermost. And you know, tonight as we look at the life of the maniac at Gadara, basically, here's the thing is, we see a life from ruin to victory. And in verses 1 through 6, we see the condition. And we see that he was dwelling in the tombs. No man could bind him, not with chains. And he had been often bound with fetters. And the Bible says in the last part of verse 4 that no man could tame him. And he was always day and night. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And by the way, when I worked on an ambulance, I realized that, you know, the cutting is a lot more prevalent than most people think. And you know, a lot of times somebody is just feeling so much hurt inside that they feel like the cutting will alleviate the pain a little bit. Well, let me tell you, the only cure for that pain is Christ. And here's the thing, is to know that God loves us and that Christ came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins. You know, we celebrate Christmas. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Elf on the Shelf. It's not about any of these other things. It's not about the lights. It's about Christ coming to the earth, being born of a virgin, to be the Savior of the world by dying on the cross for our sins. And we see here that this man is in a sin-sick condition. And you know, here's the thing, is I'll be honest with you, I can't talk about the victory of the maniac at Gadara without talking about my testimony. A little bit different, but here's the thing, is you know what, when I was just a young child, we had neighborhood Bible time, and I joke around that I was on drugs growing up. I got drugged to church every time the doors were open, and basically as a young child, after a neighborhood Bible time, and my parents faithfully making sure that I was there every night, and you know what? I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you know, the thing about it is my feet were set on a solid rock. I never have to experience hell. And you know, here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, the Bible talks about before we are saved, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And but anyways, here's the thing, is we see that he was unclean. And but you know, here's the thing, is he was unclean physically. Can you imagine the living conditions of this man? Now, having kids, a lot of times you have to tell them, listen, you gotta take a shower. And you know, and nobody likes to smell somebody that doesn't take a shower. And but anyways, and here's the thing, is you know what? Somebody living in the mountains and living in the tombs, I would bet that this person didn't take a shower. And but anyways, here's the thing, is that he was dwelling among the tombs. Now, the best I can tell, when you know, cemeteries weren't as well groomed as they are now. And you know, the thing about it is that some have even said, I can't verify it, but some have even said that sometimes they just would just dump the bodies if there was a lot of them. But either way, I tell you what, you know, imagine the filthiness. You know, here he is. He was untamed, and you know, he was. People tried to bind him, and he was running around like a maniac. And but you know, the thing about it is that the devil has a way of making sin look really good. Basically, it fails to reveal the consequences. You know, the thing about it is that I'll never forget. We went, my wife and I went to college in Indiana, and like I said this morning, we went into Caprini Greens, and I'll be honest with you, it was a place where you know what, we'd go in there and we'd share the gospel, and just a lot of folks would trust Christ, but it was a godless area, and they'd steal cars, and there was all kinds of wickedness going on. But you know, the thing about it is I'll never forget the stairwells in that place. And you know, basically, you had to be careful where you walked for obvious reasons. It was just a filthy place. But here's the thing, is I think about the living conditions of this man, and you know, here's the thing, is that oftentimes sin will lead us to poverty. Sin has a way of eating up our paycheck. How many drunkards spend their paychecks before they even go home? How many drug addicts spend their paychecks? How many compulsive gamblers lose their home, their jobs, and everything they have just because of sin? You know, here's the thing, is he was spiritually unclean. He was lost. And here's the thing, is the Bible talks about how he is demon-possessed. And you know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, you know, this man needed Christ. And fortunately for him, Christ passed by. And so here's the thing, is sin had taken control of this man's life. You know, the thing about it is sin may look attractive at first, but you know what? Sin pays out in death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Satan wants to do nothing more. Satan wants to destroy our lives. You know what? Those that aren't saved, Satan wants to keep them from getting saved. He wants to take them to hell. But you know what? When we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, then it doesn't stop. Satan desires to have us that he may sift us as wheat. You know, Satan wants to make render our lives useless. He wants to make sure that it's enough pieces where we think we can't be used by God. And you know what? Fortunately for us, God is the God of second chances. But you know what? Sin looks attractive at first, but it pays out in death. What are some ways in which sin can negatively affect our lives? You know what? There's a lot of ways. You know, when it comes down to it, we talked about it, drinking. I'll never forget one call that just came to mind was there was a party, underage drinking. The parents, hopefully they accounted to somebody, but basically they had provided alcohol for a bunch of underage kids. And this boy had gotten to a fight with his girlfriend, and in a drunken rage, jumped in his car and sped away. We got called a little ways down the road in the country where this teenage boy had hit a car in an intersection where he ran the stop sign, and he T-boned this car, and he hit the side of the car where a pregnant lady was sitting. The husband was driving. And I don't know what happened from there, but we were having a hard time keeping her stable. And the husband was just in tears. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, that boy paid a price. He made a very bad decision. And when it comes down to it, sin always looks a lot more pleasurable than Satan likes to say. Drugs, you know, here's the thing is, all throughout the United States, there's a bad drug problem. I don't know how many times I've been on drug overdose calls where one just sticks in my mind where I was working on daddy as the children, just tears rolling down their eyes, are watching. And we're so trying to get the save a life that we couldn't stop and move the family aside. And the mom and the kids were there, just tears screaming down the face. They don't show that when they're trying to get them to take their first drug of some sort. And here's the thing, as you think of sexual immorality, the diseases, the abortion, the divorce, the broken homes, and so many things. Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, listen, sin is never as pleasurable as Satan makes it look. We see he was unclothed. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. Bible says, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of a city a certain man which had devils a long time, and there and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And this was a different account. And basically, here's the thing: is when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you, nakedness and godlessness go hand in hand. When a Christian backslides or becomes disgruntled, basically, it seems like many times dress standards go out the window. Why? Because we're moving away from God. And, you know, the thing about it is many churches across America that we're compromising. And, you know, the thing about it is it's a sad state of affairs. This book should be our authority. You know what? Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we don't answer. We don't answer to a religion. We don't answer to a hierarchy. We answer to God. And here's the thing is, you know what? This should be our final authority. We should get our standards, our convictions out of this book. And I'll be honest with you, when we start to backslide, we start to say, you know what? This piece, nah, not important. You know, this piece, I tell you what, it doesn't apply to me. It applies to somebody else. I'm sure, I don't know who it is, but, you know, we start picking and choosing. And here's the thing is, too many times we treat the Bible like a buffet. And, you know, the thing about it is a buffet we take and, you know, I like this piece. I like this. You know what? I like this piece of pie. I'm going to put that on my plate. And, you know what? I like this hamburger over here. I'm going to put this on my plate. Broccoli, we're going to leave that on the table. And, anyways, we go through and we pick the stuff that we like. You know what? Too many times we as Christians, we do the same thing with the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you, that's not scriptural. And so here's the thing is, you know what? Too many times we start to enter, you know, I say we, hopefully not at this church, but, you know, too many times churches introduce rock music. And I tell you what, godliness never follows rock music. And, you know, that's why I love the fact that our church sticks with the old hymns of the faith. You know what? When it comes down to it, many people don't realize this because many people haven't studied the Bible. God has a lot to say about music. And listen, when it comes down to it, we need to be concerned about music. Why? Because music affects us more than we realize. I want to have music that positively affects me, that pushes me towards God. I'll be honest with you. When it comes down to it, music is, there's no such thing as all moral music, as meaning music without morals. Either the music is pushing you to a spiritual relationship with God, or it's dragging you down. Too many times music, we put bad music with good words, and we think, you know what? It's feeding the flesh, but it's doing a positive thing. No, it isn't. Here's the thing is, that's a Satan, that's a lie right out of Satan's playbook. And But when it comes down to it, you know, too many times we take, and when we get away from God, our standards and convictions start to wane. Why? Because the thing about it is it's just like I talked about this morning. We get to the point where we don't think sin is an offense against a holy God. We don't think that, you know what, we're so worried about the punishment, and we never get to the relationship with God where we're concerned with how this pleases God, or if it breaks the heart of God, and or whether it forces us to be used by God, or if it renders us useless. When it comes down to it, the Bible says, "Be holy, for I am holy." I'll be honest with you, that's a high standard. And when it comes down to it, you know what? Our comfort doesn't play a part in holiness. Either we live a holy life, we live a life that's according to this book right here, that pleases a very holy God, or we don't. And so listen, when it comes down to it, the Bible talks about present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? I was lost and I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was on my way to hell. And you know what? I owed a debt that I could never pay. And listen, when it comes down to it, Christ, He paid a debt that He didn't owe. You know what? He left the glory and splendor of heaven, and He came to the sin-sick earth. He was born of a virgin to die on the cross for our sins. And I'll be honest with you, you know what? He gave me something that I didn't deserve. You praise God. And you know what? He took and He died on the cross for my sins, and He paid the price of sin. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I was just a young child, I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you know what? From then on, I have a duty. From then on, my reasonable service is to live a holy life. And listen, my reasonable service is to fall in love. I'll be honest with you. If we're any kind of a person, I tell you what, somebody that's done so much for us, I don't know how we can't fall in love with a Savior. I tell you what, when we take and we follow after the world, there's emptiness. When we follow after the world, there's destruction, there's death. And here's the thing is, you know what? We pay a price and we're miserable. But you know what? When we walk with God, there's peace that passes all understanding. When we walk with God, He gives us joy that the world can't give. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you know what? We need to take and have a lifestyle that pleases God. Basically, He was unclothed. Next, we see that He was uncontrolled. And back to Mark chapter 5. We see that He was uncontrolled. The Bible talks about verses 3 and 4. "Who had His dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind Him, no, not with chains, because that He had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by Him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame Him." Key word, any man. You know, the thing about it is that a lot of places, I tell you what, man can do a lot of things to try and change a person. But you know what? None of them work. The only way to change a life is to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ and have, and you know what? If they're willing to, it's their decision to make. I'd love to make it for a lot of people, but you know what? It's got to be their decision. And here's the thing is, when they trust Christ as their Lord and Savior and decide that, you know what? They're going to make the Lord, God, the Lord of their life. You know what? A life will change. But here's the thing is, you know what? Tame is to control or subdue. No man could tame Him. He was a maniac. If left unchecked, sin can dominate us, control us, and bring us into bondage. Sin will take us farther than we want to go, keep us longer than we want to stay, and cost us more than we want to pay. Here's the thing is, why are there so many drug addicts that seem like they just have to have their next hit? They just have to get their next drug. Why are there so many alcoholics that seem like they'll throw away everything in life for that one more drop of booze, one more drop of liquor? Here's the thing is, there's some good people who it just seems like they've got to have that one next cigarette. And here's the thing is, there's people where it just seems like they can't overcome anger, and they can't control the or they can't control their tongue. Listen, psychiatrists couldn't tame Him. The power of positive thinking couldn't tame Him. An afternoon talk show couldn't tame Him. The doctors couldn't tame Him. All of man's wisdom couldn't tame Him. It took Christ. It took Christ. And listen, when it comes down to it, when we walk away from God, we're untamed as well. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm a better parent. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better everything. The closer I get to God, you know what? My life is so much better. Why? Because Christ tames us. Christ controls us. And here's the thing is, we need to not look to other, you know, the Bible talks about be not drunk with wine where success, but be filled with the Spirit. Too many times we're filled with the love of money. We're filled with trying to be comfortable. We're filled with so many things else. But here's the thing is, you know what? We need to be focused on our Savior. Secondly, notice this conversation. Look at verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and went, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 3,000 and choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in council, and they went out to see what it was that it had done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were very afraid." Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, what brought about the great change in this man's life? Was it an education? Was it social programs? This man did nothing. Jesus did it all. You know, here's the thing is, Jesus can save the vilest of sinners. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." We see his change. There was an inward change. See, here's the thing is, only God can give a new heart. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 17. First Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And listen, when it comes down to it, God gives us a new heart. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. Give you a moment to turn there, as I turn there myself. Luke chapter 8 and verse 35, the Bible says this: "Then they went out to see which was done, and he came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." Here's the thing, is that's what we should be doing, is sitting at the feet of Jesus. I tell you what, this new convert had enough sense to sit at the feet of Jesus. He realized that it was because of Jesus that he was clothed and in his right mind. And by the way, we see that relationship to standards and convictions. When he got close to God, you know what? The clothes came on. And so when it comes down to it, there was an outward change. He clothed himself. And by the way, when it comes down to it, you know what? You know, I've talked to many people where they say, you know what? Well, I've got to clean up my life before I'll trust God. Here's the thing is, that's not the way it works. Listen, you can look in the mirror and give yourself a pep talk, and you can do all kinds of things, but you know what? We can't change our life. You know what we need to do? We need to trust Christ as our Lord and Savior if we haven't already. And you know what? Christ is the one that can bring about a change. And listen, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. And when it comes down to it, that listen, Christ is the only one that can change your life. But we see that there was a behavioral change. Mark chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, And when he had come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great a things that the Lord had done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Here's the thing is, when we trust Christ, there should be a change. The Bible says we become old, or we become new creatures. Old things are passed away. This is why I believe that there should be a difference between the music of the world and the music of the saved. There should be a difference between the speech of the world and the speech of the saved. I believe there should be a difference. Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we should be the example. The Bible says, ye are our epistles written in our heart, known and read of all men. You know what? The greatest thing that God can, one of the great things that God can do with a person that's sold out to Him is use that person to point others to Christ. I don't know how many times I've been out in public with my wife and, they ask us, hey, are you Christians? Why? Because there's something different. Not that we're anything special. It's just, listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? Somebody ought to look at us, be able to look at us and tell, hey, they're Christians. Somebody ought to be able to hear our speech and tell that we're Christians. Somebody ought to be able to listen to our music and tell that we're Christians. Somebody ought to be able to tell what we read and say that we're Christians. And here's the thing is, you know what? Somebody ought to be able to listen to our focus. What we enjoy. Here's the thing is, working at the ambulance company, you know what? A lot of people want to go and talk about their wild weekends, but you know what? Hey, listen, let me tell you about my weekend. I was in the house of the Lord. And you know what? God spoke to our hearts and God did a wonderful work. You know, here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, there ought to be something different about our speech. And we see here that basically there was a behavior change. You know what? We as Christians shouldn't be looking for a way to sleep in on Sunday. We shouldn't be looking to go golfing instead of church. We shouldn't be looking to do anything else. We ought to, you know what? Our focus should be on Christ. There should be something different. Why? Because the world sleeps in on Sunday. The world just views Sunday as another day that they can take and have a weekend and do other things. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. Sunday is crucial. Sunday is crucial, man. I tell you what, when it comes down to it, you know what? We ought to have some importance on the house of the Lord. Why? Because God tells us to. And listen, if we have fallen in love with God, you know what? We're going to want to be in this place. When it comes down to it, you know what? Sunday is where I get my encouragement. Sunday is where I fellowship with people that are like-minded. I'll be honest with you. There's nobody out in the world that I'd rather fellowship with than somebody right here in this room. Why? Because listen, you come into the house of the Lord, and I tell you what, you're like-minded. You want to please God. You want to serve God. And listen, when it comes down to it, I don't believe that the world should be our best friend. Because if we have more things in common with the people of the world, we've got a heart problem. We ought to have more in common with the people that love God and love His Word, want to learn more about Him and want to be used by God in a great way. Why? Because here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, what are we here on this earth to do? Listen, the Bible tells us to go. The Bible tells us to witness. And ye shall receive power. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we should be sharing the gospel with everybody. I'll be honest with you, the gospel divides. You know, here's the thing is, if we had friends out in the world, the first time we witnessed to them, either they're going to trust Christ or they're going to be interested. But unfortunately, many times, they're not going to be interested and they're going to part ways with us. And so when it comes down to it, listen, we ought to be excited to go in the house of the Lord. Here's the thing is, what would you think of me as a pastor, an assistant pastor at Calvary Baptist Church, if I was looking for ways to get out of church? Yeah, I was telling you, hey, listen, next Sunday I won't be here because I'm going to be out golfing. What would you think of me as a pastor? Here's the thing is, if Calvary Baptist Church was any kind of a church that was pleasing God, you'd vote me right out. You know, here's the thing is, what if I say, you know what, I've got a family gathering next week and I'm not going to be in church. What would you think of me? What would you think of me if I was sporadic in my church attendance? Didn't worry about reading my Bible. Didn't worry about witnessing to anybody. You know, the thing about it is, you just say, hey, listen, time out here. There's a problem. The question is there any different standard for a pastor than there is a congregation? And so when it comes down to it, listen, he gives us a commission. Go And he's supposed to go and tell his friends, listen, I'll be honest with you, when it comes down to it, we are to go and tell a lost and dying world. Here's the thing is, you know what? There are people in Bucyrus that we need to reach. There's people in Ohio that we need to reach. There's people in Michigan that we need to reach. And I know many people think, let somebody else reach them. But here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, there are people all around the world that we need to reach. This is why we have missionaries. This is why we support church planters. Why? Because here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, when we realize I have been given a lot, but you know what? How selfish would I be if I escaped hell and I wasn't willing to tell anybody? Because if I fell in love with God the way I should, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's the heart of God? Seeing souls saved. If I fall in love with God, then you know what? I'm going to be concerned about sharing the gospel with everybody around me. I'm going to realize that my neighbor, if they don't trust Christ, they're going to split hell wide open. I'm going to realize that that cashier that's ringing me out, if they don't trust Christ, they're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, if I've fallen in love with God and I want to do His will, we're going to be faithful to share the gospel. But I'll be honest with you, too many times I say, well, you're not going to tame me. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Jesus makes a difference. You know what? For those, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that hasn't trusted Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, let me encourage you, today is a day of salvation. But for those of us that have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, there should be a difference. And here's the thing is, God has given us a commission. And you know what? There should be a behavioral change. By the way, here's the thing is, you know what? Too many times we say, well, you know what? I don't want to give God that area of my life. Well, when it comes down to it, we need to. And so let me just encourage you. Jesus makes a difference. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me encourage you to. But listen, when it comes down to it, is there a difference? Is there a difference between the world and our lives? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to take this lesson or this story and this true account of the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for salvation. Thank you so much for changing my life. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us all to renew and dedicate our lives to you and help us to draw closer to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.